Hi, and welcome to the 16th episode of the Free Language Podcast. Today, I was honored to be the first person to interview the Rocket Languages co-founder and CEO, Jason Oxenham. He's a bilingual Francophile hailing from Christchurch, New Zealand, and the engineering brainchild behind this highly effective language learning system. Jason manages a team of 30-plus educators, linguists, course writers, researchers, and web and app developers based primarily in Christchurch and also sprinkled across the globe. As this podcast goes live, Rocket Languages is currently available for the following 13 languages: Arabic, Chinese, English, French, German, Hindi, Italian, Japanese, Korean, Portuguese, Russian, Spanish, and even sign language. Rocket Languages also has products for both Japanese and Spanish speakers learning English. For regular listeners, I just want to apologize a bit for the quality of the recording here. I'm on the road in Poland right now and don't have my usual setup. So if you notice a bit of a difference in the audio quality, just forgive me on this one. I'm working on my mobile setup. The short link for this episode is freelanguage.org/FLP16. That's Free Language Podcast 16. And without further ado, let's get in and meet Jason Oxenham. All right, I'm here today with Jason Oxenham, who's down in New Zealand. How are you doing today?
Good, thanks, Chapman. Really good.
Cool. I really appreciate you taking the time. I wanted to, I guess, get started. Just it's always interesting to hear, you know, kind of how you know, the people that run different language projects get into the languages themselves. And so I'd love it if you could tell us a bit about kind of your story about becoming interested in languages.
Yeah, sure thing. Well, I suppose coming from New Zealand, we don't really have a strong background in lots of different languages. But when I left school, I went and lived in London for a few years. And when I was over there, a friend and I went cycle touring through France. And I just sort of fell in love with the people, really. The you know, the history of the place, the food and the wine, it was all very, very different from what we get down here in the bottom of the South Pacific. So essentially, you know, I sort of turned into a Francophile, I suppose, and I became interested in learning French. But at that stage of the game, you know, in New Zealand, it wasn't really a very easy thing to do. So I was very lucky that the internet came along and changed all that, really.
Cool. And so from learning French, did you then pursue any other languages?
Not in any serious way, really. I think French was it for me. I wouldn't say I'm a natural language learner. I've certainly had to work hard to get the one language under control, and even then, it still takes me a bit of time in country to get my head back around it.
Right. Well, you certainly did transition into language education, and you know, I myself have you know, kind of put off a lot of potential to learn languages myself in the interest of kind of motivating other people to get into language learning in general. So I really get a lot out of that itself, and I'm curious about how that interest in languages kind of transitioned into the pursuit of language education.
Well, yeah, it's probably a little bit abstract, but I have a background in engineering and project management. And as part of that, I've always had a keen interest in how to make learning more effective and efficient. It's probably a real engineering thing, I suppose. But, you know, I dabbled in learning French in a variety of ways. I mean, I used some basic sort of French language software back in the day. I even went to some French classes, but I could sort of see that there were the big holes in what was being taught and probably the methods that were being used as well. So when the internet came along, I was really in the right place at the right time to take advantage of getting more involved in the ed tech, the, you know, sort of the education and technology space, particularly with language learning.
And I mean, you got in, you know, quite earlier among the veterans there of, you know, it might not sound like long ago, but in the internet, you know, 2004, when Rocket Languages launched there is quite a while, and you're going to be celebrating, you know, 15 years here. And so did you, what's the kind of story about how Rocket Languages, you know, did you get together with some other folks and take your engineering skills and apply them to the language learning? And
yeah, that's exactly right. Actually, a good friend of mine, Mark Ling, he's a fairly, even today, still a fairly well-known online entrepreneur, and back in 2004, he was really just at a loose end at the same time that I was, really. And so we threw around a whole bunch of ideas about different things that we could do in the ed tech space. And I know that Mark, he was learning Spanish at university, and he found that the way that things were being taught there probably was a little bit dry. And again, like I was saying before, that there had to be a sort of a better way to do it. And so to cut a long story short, after throwing around lots of these sort of ideas, we settled on creating an online Spanish course, Rocket Spanish. And, you know, from there, we hired linguists and web designers and did a lot of research on sort of the language learning methods, or even learning methods in general, actually, that were being used at the time to put the course together. And within 12 months, I suppose, of starting Rocket Languages, we launched Rocket Spanish, and it pretty much was an instant sort of online hit. Because I suppose, like you're saying, back in 2004, the internet was a baby comparatively, and we're one of only a small handful of companies providing online language learning courses. You could probably just count them on your hand, actually. There were so few of us out there at the time. To give you an indication, when we first started, Rocket Spanish consisted mainly of MP3 files and PDFs that you could download, and that was about it. And, you know, right. of course, now with the sort of smartphones and browser technology and voice recognition and all this sort of stuff that's come along, we've evolved the courses considerably over the last 15 years.
Wow, yeah, and you've really been, I guess, your specific kind of focus is kind of using your engineering skills to home in on what, you know, what'll make the process, you know, quick and effective for people. And kind of along that line, I guess, what would you say is kind of, you know, one of the things that make Rocket kind of stand out amongst the many, many that there are today?
I would say the big difference for us is that we really live our philosophy, and our philosophy is to provide the most effective language learning courses that we can. I mean, that might sound pretty obvious for a language learning company, but in my experience, it isn't necessarily so. You know, essentially, that philosophy sort of drives everything that we do. Maybe I can give an example. For instance, we strongly encourage people to start speaking out loud right from the start of our courses, because the research tells us that, you know, if you speak a new language out loud, it reinforces the brain's neural networks and makes retention of what you've learned that much easier, as opposed to more passive learning by reading something or writing it. So that being the case, a few years ago, we added in voice recognition for, you know, thousands of the words and phrases that we have in each course. It took a huge amount of time and effort, but, you know, we can track our members' progress, and we can see that it made a big difference to the sort of retention that people have of the language learning that they're doing. You know, and generally speaking, when we do make those sorts of changes, you know, we get pretty good feedback. And so effectively, at the end of the day, we're all about continuous improvement and making sure that everything that we do keeps our users engaged in the learning process and maximizing the time that they spend studying. I mean, as you well know, after all, for most people, learning a new language isn't actually that easy. It takes a real dedicated time and effort So we're just trying to do our bit to make that little bit easier for everyone.
That's great. That's really great. And you did, you mentioned, you know, that you're getting feedback from the people every time, or from users or learners when you add in new things. I'm curious about what, in what ways the some of this feedback may have kind of contributed to the evolution of Rocket Languages.
Yeah, I think the learner feedback's been a big part of it, actually. In many ways, we take suggestions from our forums, where they're reasonably active with a lots of people that use our courses quite a bit and use other people's stuff as well. And you know, there's some good ideas that have come out of that. We use our customer support feedback process. We do online surveys, and reasonably often we have Skype calls with some of our members, usually the ones that have been using the course quite a bit, and then try and, you know, find out what's working for them and what's not. And probably one of the big ones actually is that we use a lot of online analytics around sort of the user experience and the user's sort of progress through the course to see that, to make sure that sort of that the changes that we make actually do have a positive impact on the learning experience. I mean, and all of these things we add to an ideas board that we then use to map out sort of the product development roadmap, and that helps us sort of to evolve the product in the right direction.
Okay, cool. And you've got a whole team doing this. Could you tell us a bit about the team there?
Sure. We have our head office in Christchurch, New Zealand, and we also have a bunch of people around the world from the US to Singapore to sort of everywhere in between. Cool. Our management team is mainly based here in New Zealand, but we are reasonably geographically isolated, so we have to make good use of using remote staff whenever we can, and particularly when we're looking at language experts and linguists. New Zealand's probably not renowned as a hotbed for that, so we use a lot of remote staff when it comes to those particular skills. And so, mm-hmm. at any time, there's probably, you know, 30 or so staff on board.
Okay. Wow. Yeah, that's a team. That's a team.
Yeah.
And for, you know, for a lot of people, listeners are at different levels, you know, of learning. I'm just curious, what you would recommend for more first-time language learners versus more experienced language learners, and how they might approach Rocket Languages to get the most out of it.
Yeah, well, most of our courses have multiple levels. So the first-time users get a relatively easy introduction with our Level 1 courses. And those, every course that we have has around at least 120 hours worth of instruction in there. So after Level 1, most people sort of hit around an intermediate stage of language learning. More advanced language learners can extend themselves with our higher level courses, which, you know, we tend to get into the trickier sort of grammar points and sort of extended conversations, that sort of thing. And we also, for some languages, we also have a travelogue series, which effectively follows a couple traveling around the particular country. So for French, it'll be France, obviously. And it's a real narration, if you like, sort of an audio course, but with a lot of more advanced conversation in there, which a lot of our advanced users really, really like. So there's sort of something for learners at every stage of their language learning journey, I suppose.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, and story is definitely very powerful, you know, in the human psyche, and certainly for sparking interest and recollection of material. That's a great, really great approach. I'm curious too with what one of the things that I really you know, find that's very interesting about Rocket Languages is the cultural aspect that you know it's a pretty big part of what makes it unique. And I'd love it if you could talk a bit about how you integrate learning about the culture in with the language process?
Yeah, we have a cultural lesson attached to every one of our grammar lessons. And essentially, they cover things like the essential etiquette that you need to know, as well as sort of everyday life topics that you could really do with knowing about if you're visiting the country or interacting with people from there.
Before we got cut off there for just a second, you were mentioning that each of the lessons is accompanied with a cultural lesson that goes over some of the etiquette and kind of introduces people to, I guess, some of the real things that they're going to come across, outside of just the language itself. And I think that's a real important part of the process. I mean, especially for people that are actually traveling, preparing to live or travel abroad. If you have any other thoughts about just how you're integrating the culture aspect into Rocket Languages, I'd love to hear it.
Yeah, I think you've covered it pretty well, actually. I think when you learn a language, by default you get involved with the culture of the country of the language that you're learning. And so we really just try to aid that process, and it makes the course more interesting as well. When I suppose language learning can be seen as being fairly dry at times, and we try and do everything that we can to make it more lively and engaging. And one of those ways is to, have interesting tidbits about the different things that are going on in that particular country and things to do with their culture and history that people do find very interesting.
Yeah, definitely. It's also interesting that another one of the unique things about Rocket is this kind of, well, once you've signed up, you get online access to a team of language teachers, as well as the whole community of learners that are there. So you can actually access, people who are from those cultures and be able to even dive, I would imagine, deeper and ask, questions of people that grew up there. Is that also the case?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the main way that this happens on our site is through our language forums and our customer support system. So essentially, in our forums, we have a great bunch of real language enthusiasts who have actually learnt their particular language to a very high level, as well as our own tutors who are the language experts. And, they're just great at answering any questions that sort of pop up in the forum. They can be a real advantage for learners who get stuck on a certain point that's not not explained well enough or whatever. And we also field language-specific questions that can just get emailed to us directly, and then, we just forward those on to our main linguist for that particular language, and they can sort that sort of stuff out. We're also working on a couple more things this year to increase that sort of level of interaction as well. We've got a challenge system in the works so that people can sort of build off each other's efforts, and we're also looking at some sort of internal messaging system as well, but the details of those are still sort of under wraps until a bit later on in the year.
No, cool. That's cool to hear. It's and you mentioned kind of when people get stuck, it's great to have community there to keep you to keep you motivated and keep you going coming back. And it's, I think, that one of the really one of the biggest, if you're learning a language, obviously the idea is to be interacting with people and to put that community in a forum, and to be able to have really hear different opinions and to feel like if you put a question out there, you're going to get knowledgeable answers back from both educators as well as other learners and stuff is I think invaluable. It also could be the kind of the tipping or the factor that kind of keeps people in the motivational and the motivated mode. And I'm curious, you know, what other, or if any, you know, kind of tools you put for motivational or for motivation in the hands of the learners there.
Yeah, well, I think you've hit the nail on the head there. The motivation is actually, or maintaining motivation is one of the key points of learning anything, really. That you know, everything can look nice and shiny and brand new when you start out, but you've got to be able to stick with it to really get the gains. And you know, we realize that, and we've added in a few things over the years to try and increase that level of motivation. One of those things is gamification, which has become relatively common these days, but it's, in our case, users can earn points and badges, and we have a real-time leaderboard that people can work their way up. And you know, people earn points by doing parts of the course that we think will aid learning the most. Things like using our voice recognition software, stuff like that, and completing certain tests and activities as well. And it all sort of adds to people coming back more and more often. We also have actually a streak system as well. And it's quite surprising actually how people have really jumped on that. And, you know, we have people that have streaks of 3 or 4 years. So basically they've logged back into the course and used some aspect of it every day for the last 3 or 4 years, which is pretty pretty impressive.
that is impressive. I wish I could be that consistent with something.
Yeah, exactly. we talked about our culture lessons previously. I mean, they do add a lot of interest over and above what most other online courses provide. We also send out weekly emails to our members that show how many points they've earned, and it's sort of, they automatically offer suggestions for the next best lesson that they should move on to. And so, like I said at the start, really maintaining motivation is a core plank of what we're trying to do. So we're always working on ways to improve that.
Okay. And currently, I mentioned in the intro, the languages you're serving 13, including sign language, which is pretty cool. I don't often see that, as well as English for Spanish and Japanese speakers. I'm definitely, you know, you mentioned a couple of things that were kind of still under wraps about what's coming. Is there anything else that you can throw out there for any curious folks?
Sure. Well, I think we have, as I mentioned earlier, about our sort of continuous improvement philosophy, where we're actually midway through a major sort of revamp of the UX and UI, the user experience and the user interface of our apps and our desktop version. So really that's all about just trying to make it easier to use and much more intuitive about where you should go next and how you use the different functionality that's in there. We're also midway through a complete review of all of our courses, which has been quite a large project over the last couple of years, because we've got thousands of pages and thousands of examples or tens of thousands actually. But that process has to continuously happen because language is not a static thing. Just trying to think of an example, maybe even things like smartphones, which have only been around since 2007, so that's changed a lot of the terminology that's used in different languages. So we've got to look at keeping up to date with all that sort of thing as well. Some other short to medium term projects, we're working on levels 2 and 3 of our Rocket Russian course, which we hope to get out sort of in the next 3 or 4 months. And I suppose finally we're working on a verb trainer, which doesn't sound particularly glamorous, but I think what we're going to try and do is make something that's quite different to what's already out there, and try and get away from the whole verb table structure as much as we can. So that's still in the works. Yeah, there's a lot going on there.
I'm a big fan of verbs because you know, they they literally are what make things happen. And it's very curious to see what, you know, how kind of you approach it in a way that, as you said, that that's not really out there yet, because I mean, it is, it's kind of every sentence, the verb is really the, you know, everything rotate, you know, it doesn't rotate, but it's kind of the center point of any sentence, and something is happening. And so it's not always, you know, kind of sexy to have conjugation tables, as you say, or, you know, different languages have different, you know, ways they use verbs. I mean, vastly simplified in some that don't even have conjugations, terribly difficult in others that have goodness knows how many subjunctive and conditional subjunctive and, you know, all these things. So, but nonetheless, the verbs really are what make it possible to speak. And it's, yep. It's kind of there's an infinite amount of nouns, really. I mean, I don't even know all the nouns in English, and I never will. But the actual core verbs that we use on a daily basis, just going about life, you know, speaking our own native language, is surprisingly few. And it's one of the kind of heartening things that you can say to somebody who's, you know, struggling to learn or just in the learning process, that you really get a good grips of those core verbs, and you can really go a long way. So I'm curious to see how that comes out. And interested to also, I guess, with 15 years of experience in not, you know, in really focusing on the learners and, you know, the process of making learning more efficient, and, you know, making the successful endeavor for the people gives you quite a unique perspective on the discipline. And I'm just curious to see if you have any advice that's kind of any meta or whatever you'd like that depth of experience has provided you to get people to achieve success.
Sure. I think there's a few things. I think certainly most of the polyglots that we've interviewed over the years would say that trying a variety of methods to find one that suits your particular learning style and lifestyle best is a good way to go, because you want to find something that you look forward to doing virtually every day to give you the results that you're after. And that sort of ties into the second point, really, is that doing a little bit every day, even if it's only 5 minutes of listening to, say, a Spanish radio station, it just keeps you in the game, really. Whereas if you let months and months go by without doing anything, you know, it can take a little time to get back into the rhythm of what's happening. So I think that's quite important. But I think possibly the most important thing that we found anyway is that especially early stage learners should speak the language out loud as often as possible. I mean, that sounds pretty pretty simple, I suppose, but a lot of people feel very anxious about speaking out loud in English, let alone a foreign language. So the more you do of it, the easier it becomes. And at the end of the day, that's how you're going to communicate anyway. So, you know, practice makes perfect in that situation. There's no doubt about it. So I think at the end of the day, language learning is, you want to try and make it so that it's not a chore and that it's really fun and engaging.
For a long time in the online polyglot world, you know, there have been kind of one team or one crew that really say, hey, you should really just speak right from the beginning. You should just continue to talk, and that's what's going to, you know, be the most effective for you for learning. And then there's another team that says, but wait a minute, unless you know what you're going to say and you know a bit of the language, that it's difficult to you know, to do that. So it seems like Rocket Languages really does a great job of giving you both of those. You know, you've got the ability to use the voice recognition tool to be able to start speaking, make sure that you're going to be understood, and to start creating those pathways. But then you've also got the written stuff that you can work on simultaneously. You can bounce back and forth. You can even read while you speak out loud. So I think you've done a great job of combining the two kind of camps, if you will, which is really, really exceptional, I think, in the space. So
yeah, I think that's exactly what we've tried to achieve, actually, is the trying to marry up those two viewpoints about, you know, at the end of the day, everyone's different about how they learn. I mean, you know, if you're more musically inclined, speaking the language out loud, first, you know, getting used to that rhythm that different languages have can become a lot easier. Whereas if you're not musically inclined, maybe you need to have a bit more background first, you know, if you haven't learned other languages first, then, you know, a bit more groundwork is a good thing. But at the end of the day, I think, like I said before, speaking the language out loud is what you're really after at the end of the day. So that's what we try and promote as much as we can.
Awesome, awesome. I really, really appreciate you taking the time today, Jason, to do this. And I'd like to give you just a chance to let people know kind of where to connect with the best places to connect with Rocket Languages.
Sure. People can visit our site at rocketlanguages.com. We have free trials on there of all of our courses. You can also try our iOS and Android apps, which you can pick up in the relevant app stores as well. And yeah, that's probably the best way to go about it. And of course, we've got you know, our customer support teams always around to answer any questions that you may have.
Awesome, awesome. And if we kind of let a little time go by, I'd love to catch up a little bit further down the road and see how things are going for you guys. I really appreciate the time you've taken there.
No, thanks, Chapman. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Free Language Podcast. It's really great to know people are out there listening. If you want to drop me a line, head over to freelanguage.org/contact. And I'd love to hear suggestions, improvements, if there are any guests you'd like to recommend. And once again, the short link for this episode is freelanguage.org/FLP16, where you can find the full write-up and links to all of Rocket Language's products. And if you do use the links on freelanguage.org, it contributes to this podcast at no cost to you. And in fact, I'm often working up discounts and other things for you. So very much appreciate that and look forward to the next episode.